Hello, welcome to the FPL Masterclass, your hub for all your FPL tips and transfers. I'm your host, Haider Abani. I'm joined by Rob Blanchett, as always. We are back, Rob, for game week 7. It's been a really peculiar start. We've been talking about this, haven't we, over the week or the last couple of weeks, how this FPL season has been very hard to predict. Everyone's got similar teams as well, so everyone's getting similar points. And the usual FPL royalty, I think, of Salah and Trent are not really performing, although Salah has had some returns. Then haven't been as useful as assets. It is really bizarre, isn't it?
It's a horrible season. So why is it a horrible season? Well, yeah, you've just explained most of it there in a nutshell. But I really think FPL have made the game way too easy this year. Now, that's not for someone like myself to say, oh, well, I'm used to doing better than other people. I think it's more of a case of if you put together a team, how difficult is it to score points within that 100 million of what you would spend on your team? Course, in years gone by, Salah, very easy pick, likes a Kane. Other players from years gone by, your Ronaldos, your Sterlings, these players who are kind of premiums, and you would build around them. But this year, we're seeing that premiums are not performing, but people have got some really strange teams and getting big points every week. And you think, is that luck? Or is that judgment? Or is that just because the game is a little bit weak? And I think FPL have done that. I think they've made the game weaker this year. And that makes the game itself, I think, less enjoyable. But we'll go with it. It's only kind of coming up to game week 7. We'll keep plugging away and explaining our logic around our choices and why we think certain things. And there's still plenty to play for. I will say first 6, 7, 8 game weeks, it's a roll of a dice, isn't it? You can get good points, but it will start to sort itself out, I think, as teams start to find form.
Well, that's why when you look at the table, just generally in football at the beginning of the season, you know, totally. No one wins anything in August and September.
Means so nothing. Yeah.
It's important to also apply that logic to FPL. Like I said to you earlier that I've got a friend at work who has Sancho and Rashford in his side. And Sancho and Rashford have got assists or goals in the last, great returns in the last 4 games. But, you know, United, and he's a United fan. So look, United, at the beginning of the first 2 weeks, you wouldn't have touched them at all. Yeah. So is that luck? Is that not? It's just, I think, knowing the guy, I think he's just a United fan and he's just put in 2 players that he likes. But look, guys, on today's show, we are going to discuss an overview of game week 6. We'll show Rob's team as well and see where he got points, where he didn't. We'll look at the team of the week as well and the fixture list for the upcoming game week 7. And we'll also look at 8 and 9, Rob, as well, won't we? Just sort of give forward thinking. Yeah. And then what we'll do is we will have a look at whether people should be buying more value players or premiums. So that's going to be really interesting to see where the value is at the moment in these first 6 game weeks. Talk about United players as well, which should be interesting. We haven't done that. We've been avoiding them like the plague for the last 10 years on FPL. But there's some interesting players in there that you could be selecting. And then we'll look at the game week 7 as well. So guys, as always, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Give us a follow on @ManUnitedMC. Give myself a follow on @Haider_Rabani. And give Rob a follow on @_Rob_B. Let's look at game week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Rob. So we're looking at the overview of how you've done for each game week. And something that stands out to me, to be honest, is inconsistency. You know, you have a great week, then a poor week. I'm the same, by the way. I think I'm ahead of you, but maybe 4 or 5 points. It's absolutely nothing. We've got fairly similar teams because I think a lot of people have got similar teams. And I think a lot of it hinges on whether you bought in Haaland or whether you went for Kane and Salah. I think the people that have gone with Haaland have done really well and captained him. I took out Kane after the first game week. And I think, you know, the people that maybe stuck with Kane or stuck with Salah, Kane's had good returns, but with Salah, they haven't done as well.
Yeah, there's nothing new with having to combine super premiums. So you might get 2 and then find your way somewhere down the list. So you're right what you said about Kane there in the early game weeks. I had him in my initial team. I also had Son in my initial team. Both of them have left and exited to accommodate Haaland +1. So that's the way I've gone. Haaland's already proved, I think, completely, you know, there's absolutely 100% no doubt that you must have him in your team this year because the way he scores goals and the frequency and the volume cannot be matched by any player in FPL, and that will include Mohamed Salah. So you've got to just kind of choose around it. And I think you've got to look at your mid-range. The reason why I wanted to show all six game weeks and doing it like this season is to show the kind of just mad frequency of how the points go up and down. So last week of 41 points, which is around the average for FPL. I think FPL was about 44, 45 for the game. And then the week before that, 91 with exactly the same team. No changes. I think the only extra player in there was Alvarez at Man City, who I had starting. It was a bit of a gamble because I felt that he'd get minutes. He scored twice for Man City. That gave me a nice little round return. But this is why I say average points per week matters. 60 points should be what you're aiming for. But I'm already thinking, because of the nature of the game this year, it should be more like maybe 65, 66. Looking at that. So if you look along my ranks there, I'm actually on point for it. I'm on around 60 points per week at the moment over the first 6 weeks. So you got to keep thinking like that. And this is why I'm saying to people, don't rush into your wild cards. Don't rush into massive changes. Don't get freaked out that Liverpool are not winning games and you've got three Liverpool players. Liverpool will win games. They absolutely will. They'll get back to it at some point and they'll start racking up points and going on big, long runs while you've bought into Brighton or something like that. So stick with it and it will average itself out.
It's a tough one, but I'm going to bring in a really good comment here from Alan saying that seems like you have to really nail your mid-level players. He says, I got sick of Lingard and dropped him from McAllister before last week's game. That worked out great. Yeah. 100%. There's some really good value in the 5 to 6 million. We're going to go through that later on in the show because there is a lot and the bigger players aren't really getting you the returns. Rob, we've got your team here. I mean, to be honest with you, Haaland, you captained him. He got you decent points. Gross also got an assist. Nico Williams got an assist as well. We both had Bailey on the bench. When Bailey scored that goal against City, I was just thinking, I was shaking my head. I was like, what are the chances? But he is playing up front now for Villa. Yeah. So he's only about 4.9. I think he's gone down in value. But if he can stay fit, and Villa are an interesting one. You know, is Steven Gerrard going to stay or not? I don't know. But for 4.9, he's a great bench option to have.
He's a great bench option to have, and even just to bring in on the odd game week. I've got rid of all my Villa pieces. Why? Because I've watched them a lot and they're terrible. So I don't care what Gerrard is going to do or not going to do in football terms, but in FPL terms, I look at them. I think Digne, for his price, has the lowest statistical return per week versus price in the whole of FPL. So I think he was originally around 5.1. Something like that. I think he's returned something like 0.8 points per game. It's shocking. It's poor. So I did have him in my team at the start. This is partly why I think I'm slightly below the curve of where I would want to be. But just look at these numbers. They're horrible. Look at that back four. Robertson won. My most, you know, best defender of the week, a £4 million defender, Nico Williams, with just 4 points. Cancelo, 2. James, 1. Martinelli, 2. Salah, 3. You know, Neto, 3. Jesus, 1. Awful. That's really rare to get it that bad, but we're seeing a lot more of this season because of just how off kilter it is. And as you said there, Bailey, right at the bottom of my bench, because I was thinking, do I sell him? Do I keep him? Well, I'm keeping him at 4.7 and getting 8 points. And you're thinking, well, I didn't even think he'd get a minute at Villa in the last game. And as you said, played against Man City, scores the goal. You cannot substantiate for that. But again, I'm trying not to be too knee-jerk with this. I look at that team still, Haydar, with educated eyes, and I think it's still a pretty good team. There's nothing there. Like, do I want to get rid of premiums to bring in mid-range or lower players? Well, I could do that, couldn't I? But then when these premiums start kicking off and having big long runs of 6-7 games of scoring points, I'm going to be left behind the curve massively. So I kind of say stick with it. We will explain a lot of this. And as you said, we're going to go through mid-rangers today to show you that mid-range is where you should be creeping into and trying to change that around. I think the shout there about McAllister and Lingard is the perfect example, because no one would have had McAllister in their team game week one. Everyone would have had Lingard thinking he was going to do a West Ham. He's done nothing so far. He's got one assist, I think. And he's looked like he doesn't really want to be at Nottingham Forest. I don't know if you've seen him play, but he looks a little bit...
Yeah, I've watched him a few times. Yeah.
A little bit blurry-eyed, the boy looks. So, you know, for whatever the price that you were paying for him, kind of 6 to 7 million around that mark, he's not really started the season well. And you could trade him out for a much, much better mid-range player.
Rob, let's have a look at the fixture list for the week. So, as you can see on the screen, this is from Fantasy Football Scout. You have actually filtered it, haven't you? So you can see it here on the screen. The team at the top has the best next three fixtures and the team at the bottom has the worst. So you can see at the bottom, Spurs, don't have great fixtures. City, Leicester. Leicester, they should win. Arsenal. But when you look at the top, you're looking at Leeds, Brighton, although they have got a blank week. So Palace as well, as you see further down. Arsenal have got some great fixtures. Chelsea, new manager bounce. We will talk about that. So when you're looking here at this, what really pops out to you?
Well, this is actually, in terms of the order, it's the next three games, but in order of who's got the best next game week. Because at the moment, predicting three games ahead is almost impossible because of the nature of the game. So we're trying to bring it and squeeze it down. So this is actually just for game week seven. So Leeds are at the top because they're playing Nottingham Forest. Brighton second because they're playing Bournemouth. As you said there are blank game weeks there. So you have to be aware of that. But I think what you see here, and you look at kind of game week seven and beyond, the likes of Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, which are slightly better fixtures than what they have been having. And they've been doing okay anyway, bar Liverpool. And Manchester United, they're kind of mid-range because they're about to run into Man City at some point in 3 weeks' time. So this is all now about the balance. Right at the bottom there, you see there, City themselves, who are, you know, Premier League champions, running into Tottenham, Wolves and Man United. That is a tough three games. But with Man City, you always know that they can beat all three of those teams. They can just turn on the afterburners. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. Right at the bottom there, Spurs running into a kind of list of City, Leicester and Arsenal. Now, Leicester themselves are kind of massively out of form, but you would think that they might start to recover in the weeks ahead. So it's a very topsy-turvy fixture list.
Yeah, it's very, very hard to predict. But then, you know, you're looking at, for example, let's say Leicester. I mean, you look in the Villa game, for example, that's a six-pointer for both of them. So, you know, do you go in and say, for example, Bailey sitting on your bench? Do you start him? It's very, very difficult because I think Leicester, for me, I think they're kind of in free fall. So there's some that are standing out to me. I'm thinking, okay, interesting fixtures. Because you've got to pick the matchups, right? You've got to look here. For example, Brentford are playing Southampton. I'd back Tony, for example, against Southampton. But you never know because Southampton might go and do what they did against Chelsea. It's very difficult to predict right now what's going on. Brighton, I know they've got Bournemouth, but they have no manager now. So,
exactly.
You know,
they've got no backroom staff. Literally, yeah. Everyone's left. So it's literally they're going to be someone from the youth ranks who manage that lot who'll be stepping up, or maybe someone.
It's Lallana. He's taking over as
coach. Has Lallana taken over? So there you go.
I saw it today. Yeah,
but they're basically letting the players decide who's going to start. So they haven't really got a lot.
Gross and everyone else.
Yeah, so Brighton have gone from even last year from being a team really, really tight, really, really mean, really, really organised, getting points at places where you don't expect it, might now completely flip the other way and go into free fall. So like you just said about Leicester got Villa, Tottenham, Forest. If they don't get a victory in one of those three games, that manager, Brendan Rodgers, is going to get sacked, be over. So he'll be gone. He'll be out the window. And then you look at Brighton, and Brighton now hit the top here, have got a blank game week in the middle, but have got Bournemouth and Liverpool. You would expect that they would still do well against Bournemouth, but Bournemouth showed last week that they can still score goals and get back to where they need to be after sacking their manager. And are Liverpool going to be popping in 3 weeks' time? They might well be. Liverpool might be back and be ruthless, and we'll be doing a show about how you should buy Liverpool players again. So there's that balancing point, you see. And this is why a lot of this becomes guesswork, because you've got to look at it game week to game week at the moment. Whereas, as I've said before, in years gone by, you want to look two, three, four weeks in the future. You simply cannot at the moment. It's just way too volatile.
Let's move on now to the team of the week. Rob, we'll just quickly touch on this, but what really stands out is it's quite funny to look at. I mean, look, barring, I'm just looking through this list now, big names, Marcus Rashford, let's just say.
Yeah.
A lot of them aren't, you know, you haven't got Haaland in there this week, although he's been fantastic. None of the big premiums are there. So this is why it's so difficult this year. And it's you can't tinker too much, but also I feel like if you've got, like I've got 20.5 million wrapped up in Salah and Trent, I have to get rid of one of them. Probably not Salah, but Trent is a lot of money. I need to distribute that money around and try and improve the rest of my squad.
You really don't tinker. Trent will get his numbers back. Just because he was awful in the Champions League and there's been a viral video around of him not running around and when he should be running around, I get the feeling when he goes back to Liverpool for this week, his manager would have given him a really big spanking. He'll be fine. He'll get back to where he is. He's a world-class fullback. I would say that, well, with Salah, you could sell Salah, but if Liverpool do have a recovery, say in the next six game weeks, say they win the next six, Salah scoring points in every one of those games, guaranteed. So when you look at this list here, don't get too seduced by Pedence. Don't get too seduced by Trossard. You know, if you can get them in your team, definitely. You know, like, I think the big one here is Tony. I think he'll have a good season. But as we said off camera as well, Tony last year had big spells where he did well and then big spells where he didn't do so well. So you've got to account all of that. But, you know, look at this list, Solanke and Daka. It's like there'll be people who are not so familiar with FPL this week who will be buying those players because they'll be looking at this list. Stay away from them for now, unless you've got the money to do it or you want to kind of move stuff around and you're playing a wild card, which I wouldn't suggest at the moment, then so be it. But you're looking at Collins as well. I think there's a 4.5 player. Rashford is mid-level this year at 6.5. Last year, Rashford was poor. This year, Rashford's doing a lot better under a new manager. And you look through it. It's kind of such a weird, broken list. It's not what you would normally expect of Team of the Week. You'd expect to see more premiums in there as a balancing point. But yeah, you said there about those two and you've got to sell one of them. You really don't have to sell one of them. And I guarantee you, if you do, in 6 weeks' time, you'll be on our show here going, why did I sell one of them, Rob? You'll be saying it because you'll be like, ah, stick with it and maybe change the mid-rangers or maybe the budget players and find some extra points that way.
Interesting, interesting. Well, Rob, we actually are going to talk about the main topic of the show, which is it time to buy more value players over premium? So you've told me one thing, but we'll drill into it more. So this list here is of the defenders, and this is their value score over 6 weeks. So obviously, yeah, we had 6 weeks of the season. So this is the value, per score. So surprisingly, at the top is Collins. Wolves have only conceded 4 goals, I believe, and they're playing Liverpool this weekend. They're very mean defensively. I think going forward, they haven't quite clicked, but they could very well click. So I think if you are looking for an option that you can put on the bench, but will play week in, week out, Collins is very, very, very good in terms of being 4.5, but his form is 6.2.
Yeah,
Saliba's up there as well. No surprises, really. Trippier is an interesting one, actually. I didn't really think about him at the beginning of the season. I wasn't really sure what to expect from Newcastle, but when I'm looking at the fact that I have got, I did have Reece James, who is very up and down. Like, he's either going to go and get me 15 points or he's going to get me 1 point. If you are looking to save a little bit of money, and Trippier does take free kicks as well, he's a really interesting option, and you can see that with his form here. A lot of Arsenal players, Gabriel and White. Dallow's in there as well. I've actually brought Dallow back in a couple of weeks ago. He sat on my bench last week, but I'm going to keep him at 4.5 million. I think he's going to play every single week on that right-hand side. So, interesting list, but none of the big Liverpool players. No Reece James. Like I said, he's either getting great points or he's getting 1 point. So, topsy-turvy, really.
Topsy-turvy. And, you said at the start here, this list here, and the list you'll see in the next two or three slides, is value for the total season across all price brackets. So this is not cheapest or best on form by price. It's just not. So you could have had a premium in this list who was giving value numbers, which we'll show you when we go to the forwards. But like you just said there, some strange names in here. You're used to that early in the season. You said Collins is in there. Kilman was kind of in there last year. Veltman's one of those names that kind of pops in and out of the value always. But as we just said, Brighton might find that there's a dip now. Kelly at Bournemouth, 4.5. Again, you probably wanted to stay away from Bournemouth players, especially when they're shipping a million goals at Anfield. Delow, we spoke about at the start of the season. One little stat, which is, I think, quite good to highlight here. Delow has had more touches in the opposition's penalty box than any other player outside of the forwards this season, which is kind of stunning. So it means he's now getting into the box more for Man United, getting now a couple of assists, and at 4.5 million represents true value. At the start of the season, we said, you put me in your team, and I said I didn't want him in my team because I wanted to see what Man United were going to do in those first two games, and Man United conceded 6 goals. So that was, I think, at that point, completely true and accurate. And now you look at Delow, I think at 4.5, if you're going to buy into Manchester United, he's definitely one of those options.
Yeah, no, I took him out after the 4-0 thrashing, but I brought him in a couple of weeks ago. I think he actually got an assist in a game that I didn't play him in. He's a good bench option, 4.5, and I think we'll talk about United a bit more later in more detail, but if I'm going to buy into United, he makes sense for me. Look in the midfielders, Rob. So same sort of concept. As you can see, the Brighton duo of Gross and McAllister had a really good season. Alan saying here in the comments, McAllister seems to be taking the penalties and free kicks. So that's given McAllister a really good advantage, and you know he's only 5.6. So you know, if you've got, for example, Rodrigo who got injured, he's a great person to bring in. I actually went for Zaha instead. Zaha's got blank week, so I think over the season Zaha will get more points. But McAllister is a good option at 5.6. Marcus Rashford's had a really good season. We'll go into him in more depth later on. You see Rodrigo's there. Martinelli, Xhaka, and Odegaard. No surprises with Martinelli and Odegaard, but Xhaka's an interesting one. He is getting forward more, so 5 million, Rob. It's good value. For a player that will probably pick up some assists, and he's got a good shot on him as well. And then you've got Højbjerg and Andreas, who takes Andreas takes free kicks and corners, I believe. So he's a good option, very good option, great value for money at 4.6. So Fulham are playing progressive football, and Mitrovic is on fire. So it makes sense, doesn't it, to have someone like Andreas?
Yeah, definitely. And we'll talk a little bit more about Andreas right at the end of the show. But I think when you look at this listing, you just mentioned Xhaka. The issue with Xhaka is that because of Arsenal's value across the board from defence and midfield and attack, is he going to be one of your three Arsenal players? And I would say absolutely categorically, no chance, because there's too many good value players in Arsenal's defence and too many good value players in their midfield. And if you've got Gabriel Jesus, like 99% of everyone in FPL have got, then you can only pick two, can't you? That's just the way it goes. So Odegaard's obviously on this list, and we've seen him kind of, if not blow hot or cold, but he's had like big game weeks, not so big game weeks, but it's about consistency. You just mentioned there Wilfried Zaha, and you said the key word. I think Zaha will get more points over the season. This is what FPL is about. Picking players that will get you the most points over the whole campaign. Not this week, not for 4 weeks, not for 8 weeks, the whole season. And if you pick 11 players who do that, you'll win your leagues. It's just as simple as that. That's the logic and that's the mathematics. Looking at the top here, as you said there, Gross and McAllister, literally no one in FPL was ever going to pair those two up in their midfield, ever. No one would do that. They might do it now, but you might be too late. You've missed the boat. You know, Graham Potter is now the new manager of Chelsea. You might find one of those two players end up at Chelsea next year or something like that. But I think Marcus Rashford there, you're seeing that he's kind of playing a central role at United, coming off the left, but playing through the central channel through many minutes. Cristiano Ronaldo, hit or miss in terms of whether he gets minutes. You know that Marcus is going to play. And you go down to this, you said about Andreas. I think Andreas at the start of the season, I was a little bit wary again at 4.5. I think he was right at the start. But he's playing minutes. He's taking free kicks. He's taking corners. He's getting assists. He's getting kind of performance points as well. I think at 4.6 now, he's probably the best budget midfielder. So let's use that word better than value. But budget-wise, at 4.6, there's him and Longstaff. Longstaff is 4.4 at Newcastle and has started the last three games. But I think Andreas, with that extra 0.2, has that extra bit of value on him because he takes all of the set pieces.
Yeah, 100%. I was intrigued to see where he'd play, firstly, for Fulham when he joined. Because he's always had, look, we know him from his United days, and I always thought he had good, you know, quality on set pieces. His biggest issue was actually his general game decision-making. But he looks really good, actually. I've watched Fulham a lot of times. I'm impressed with Fulham. They are playing Chelsea this weekend, so we'll see if Chelsea have the new manager bounce. But I think Andreas is, for that value, you're better off getting him than, say, Pedro Neto, who's given you nothing. And Andreas will probably play week in, week out. Rob, now on to the forwards. Now, this is where you're seeing the big premium player here, Haaland. No surprises there. I know he's 12 million, but he's been unbelievable. Tony and Mitrovic are just ahead of him. They've been in great form. And then you're looking at Firmino. So Firmino is one that I wasn't expecting to see there. I think a lot of people probably thought they might see Darwin Nunes there, or maybe, I know Jota's been injured, but Firmino got that hat trick, didn't he, against Bournemouth, and he's getting goals and assists, so he's in there as well. Jesus, we know, has been fantastic, and Bumo as well. Johnson was an interesting one at Forest. He seems to be their main sort of attacking option that's picking up points. Adam Armstrong, you've got Kane down there as well, so you've got a couple of premiums in assists. Danny Welbeck and then Ollie Watkins as well. So the list isn't as surprising in terms of you've got some of the premiums. I think the most surprising thing for me, though, is to see Mitrovic up there. I've seen what Tony can do. He has purple patches. I wasn't expecting Mitrovic to be this good, considering his record before.
Yeah, so again, this is we're looking at value here, and you can see there's two super premiums in this list of Haaland and Kane. So it's both showing that even though they are super expensive, they're really returning value for their money. And you just mentioned their Firmino. I think the thing is with Firmino is he came into the team, when Darwin Nunez is on three-match ban. So he's on a three-match ban, and Firmino picks up all those minutes and does well, scored points. You know, that's why he's so high on the list. But beware of Firmino's minutes going forward, because I don't believe he'll play nearly as much as he has done in the last three or four games. But when you look at the rest of the list, they're all a kind of much for muchness. Jesus is in there, so I think he's going to be on this list for the whole season at 8.1. It's kind of crazy money. And I think also what you're seeing here, like you mentioned Mitrovic, and we'll mention Tony as well, that because of the first six game weeks, they've both played really well, scoring, assisting, man of the match performances, hat tricks for Tony in this case. They've gone from being 6.2s and 3s and 4s, and I think with Tony, he was 6.8 at the start of the season, to now 7.2 and 6.8. No longer budget value. The value has gone. So you've missed the boat. You could still go and buy into them, but it means you're going to be losing value somewhere else in your team. It's just what it is. So, you know, Firmino at 8 million, there's no value in that. That's too expensive when you've got players around you. You would rather have Jesus at 8.1, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
1.1 more. It's just, who's going to play every week,
yeah,
and is going to get goals and assists and is going to play the centre forward for a team challenging for the Champions League. It's all logic, isn't it? So Tony will start every game. Mitrovic will start every game. So you've got to look at it like that. Brennan Johnson as well, I think, is a bit of a strange one. He is starting games at the moment. He got a penalty and he scored the other day. His value's gone up a little bit. But again, got me really, really assured at this price bracket, because there's a lot of competition between 5, 6, 7 million, and you can do a lot better, I think, than players like Johnson.
Rob, the final point or the final slide on this topic of, you know, buying value over premiums. Here's a really interesting one. So we've got Haaland and Kane stacked up against each other. And yeah, I took out Kane for Haaland first game week. I did actually miss the price rise and price drop, mm-hmm, unfortunately, which was very frustrating. But look, you can see overall that been vindicated. Haaland's got 67 points overall. That's 27 more than Kane, who's on 40 points. He has 10 goals to Kane's 5. They both have one assist apiece, but he's got 12 bonus points to Kane's 9. The biggest thing that stands out here, though, is look at the ownership. 78.7% for Haaland. Yeah. So what do you want to say about Kane? Because I know you've got a good point here.
So just look at the price at the moment. So 12 million for Haaland, now 11.4 for Kane. So they both started the season 6, 7 weeks ago at 11.5. So you can do the maths there in terms of how much Haaland's gone up and how Kane dropped. But in game week 2, before the prices changed, and you just kind of hinted about it there, I did the flip because I watched Haaland in game week 1 and I thought, oh, got scared. I was like, I need him in my team no matter what. So I got rid of Kane against my better tinkering judgment. What happened in game week 2? Haaland got 2 points and Kane scored twice and I got an assist and it was like, ugh. But here we are 7 weeks on. And it's been absolutely 100% proved here when you look at this, that Haaland has got 27 more points in 6 game weeks than Kane. So I think Kane now becomes a differential at 11.4. If you've got Salah and you're not happy with sticking with Liverpool and you really feel, you know, you watch Liverpool and you think it's not their season this year, they're going to come eighth in the league and this, you know, Klopp's going to get sacked and this is the end of them, then you could very much go for a player like Harry Kane at a team like Tottenham who are competing. And when you look at it here, you can see the metrics are not mad. Like in terms of like Kane, 40 points in 6 weeks, kind of all right. It's not the worst. You know, I think it's probably better than Salah's, actually. I'm not quite sure. Don't quote me on that. But you can see how the ownership has swung here towards Haaland and people almost 80%. So almost 8 out of 10 players have got Haaland in their team. I don't think you can avoid that this year. It's just whether you've got the extra capital to go and buy a player like Kane. Or do you just pair him up with a Jesus? Just go Haaland and Jesus because it's easy and it's cheaper.
Yeah, that's what I've done.
And that's what everyone's done. That's why Jesus has got 80%. So this is why I'm saying about the game being too easy this year, because you're kind of pigeonholing everyone into one side to kind of say, well, you can afford this, but this is a massive gamble and you wouldn't really want to do that. Some people will gamble just because that's the nature of the way they play the game. But I think overall here, you would be picking Haaland over Kane at the moment. Could you do Haaland and Kane together? Potentially. But I'd want to see Kane a little bit more in the next few weeks just to make sure that Tottenham are popping for him to get him assists.
Let's move on now, Rob, to United players. So We've avoided United players like the plague. You know, over the last, let's say, 10 years, apart from really
except
when
Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, Bruno when he first came in and he was amazing. He was an absolute FPL goldmine. He was a dream.
Super differential, I used to call him. That's what he was.
He was amazing when he came in. I remember he's the only player I had. And I had I'm not going to say his name, but the number 11 as well for a while when United were under Ollie. But we're looking over here and we've got United's defenders. What really surprised me, because I did go in to look at United's defenders before the Arsenal game, just to see what the actual price was of these players. I mean, look, Martinez is 4.5 million, and we haven't seen anything of his playmaking abilities yet. And we will see that as it goes on. Varane, 4.8. Malacia, 4.4. You've got Dalot, 4.5. I mean, is there anyone above 5? It doesn't look like it. Maguire's 4.7. Shaw, 4.7. And then you've got Lindelof, Jones, Wan-Bissaka, and Brandon Williams. United have got a really cheap... It's probably the first time I haven't seen a defender over 5 million in United's defence. So when I'm looking at this, there's only one name. I think, there's two names. Martinez is one of them, if you do want to buy in. But I think Dalot is better value because Dalot is getting forward, as you said earlier on in the show. Malacia, a lot of people asked me about Malacia. And I said, we haven't seen really anything from him going forward yet. So if you're going to pick between Malacia and Dalot, you go for Dalot, don't you, really? But then when you look at the points... Dalot's only got four more points than him, so
there you go.
So this is the thing, that because I was having this conversation with someone about Malacia.
What you think, isn't it?
Yeah, because look, Malacia will eventually show what he can do going forward, but he hasn't really shown it at all. But it's a lot to do with the way United play. We're not going to go into the tactics of it, but when I'm looking at this, I think for me, if I was buying into, I've already got Dalot, but if it was, it'd be Dalot or Martinez.
If I was buying into Man United's defense, I'd be taking Malacia. Why? Not just because of the 0.1, but because of the potential. So like you just said there, Malacia's done nothing yet on the front foot. Absolutely nothing. He is a progressive player, and he's not just a player who'll get round the corner. You know, he's not just an overlapping fullback. He likes to come narrow playing midfield, which means he can get assists playing balls through the middle, which United have shown this year they might exploit. I wouldn't touch Martinez. Why would I not go for Martinez? He's a centre-back. We know my rules on centre-backs. If you're going to get a centre-back, you're probably more likely going to go and buy a Van Dijk or a Ruben Diaz when he's fit or something like that.
Yeah, but look at the price.
You're going, okay, 4.5. He's a de facto starter now, yeah, we know, definitely. But there's still that balancing act of whether Martinez will play or will Maguire somehow force his way back in. We really don't know yet. Like, I know as United fans, we all have very strong opinions on that and we would all go with Martinez. We just don't know what's going to happen though yet. But I think at the top there, yeah, if you were going to pick one, I would go for Malacia. I think Dalot would be my second one. But Dalot has shown that he is getting forward more. Like I said, that stat earlier on, he's been in the box more than any other player, any other team who is not a forward. If you want, also, I'm thinking here's quite funny, a proper bench and stash option, just because you want to have a really strong 11 and then maybe one or two strong substitutes and you want to just dump the last one, Phil Jones at 3.9.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah.
A proper, and it's very rare that you get someone at that low. 3.9 is a proper bench and dump option. Some people do it at 4 and 4.5s, you know, and 3.9 means that you probably buy an extra midfielder at a much higher rate. You can put Brandon Williams.
You're completely like a light bulb moment now. I'm thinking
exactly. So you could do two bench and dumps here with Jones and with Brandon Williams, and that might give you the extra money you need to have a premium. Really might. So there you go. So there is that option. Not something I would do, but I know some people do like doing those things. But I think in a week-to-week basis, I think Dalot and Malacia there, they're the fullbacks. It looks like they'll stick as the fullbacks as it goes, just because of the competition. But you might see Luke Shaw start to creep back in now. I know, obviously, you might be watching this after the Europa League. We don't know who's going to play well and who's not going to play well. But you might find that, again, Luke Shaw, like Maguire, might eventually force their way back in, even though that's not what Man United fans would want.
We'll see what happens. Rob, midfielders, and we've got, no surprise, Marcus Rashford, 6.5. You've got Jadon Sancho as well, scored a couple of goals and a couple of assists. He's 7.3, so 28 points so far. Bruno Fernandes, you know, obviously he is the premium, isn't he, really, in this Man United midfield, 9.8, 22 points. Ericsson got his first assist, you know, 6.3. With Ericsson, he's an interesting one because I remember when I was doing my draft at the beginning of the season, I was thinking, where's he going to play?
Yeah.
He's taking set pieces. We've seen him take corners, but he's going to be the pre-assist guy. So he's going to get the ball to Bruno. So that's why I'm kind of, if I was going to go for a 6.5, a 6.3, I'd be going for Marcus Rashford because he's going to get at the end of the ball. A little further down, you can see Alanga, you can see McTominay, Anthony, Fred, Van der Beek, Casemiro, and Garnacho. We'll talk about Anthony in more detail, but I'm actually just going to push over to the next slide here. And let's go into more detail about Marcus Rashford, because great form, 7.6. He got 18 points last game week, 2 goals and an assist. Already he's got 3 goals and 2 assists this season. He's down as a midfielder as well, which is just crazy. He's 6.5 again, which is just crazy. He's only owned by 16.4%. And you look in the ICT rankings as well. He's 21 out of 624 players. It's logical that if you're going to buy into Man United and you're looking to go for, let's say, a forward, you go for Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, it is, especially at the price range. You said there, the differential factor, I think, is really important when you're looking to beat your opponents, your friends in your leagues. 40 points already for the season. Last season, for the whole campaign, for the whole 12 months, he got 63 points. So he's already pretty much on track to beat that in the next few weeks. I just think the fact that he plays as a centre forward here makes all the difference. But, and there is a but here, can we flick back to the last slide, Haydar? Because it's important to look at this. Anthony has now appeared on the scene. We know this. So who misses out? At the moment, it feels like Rashford can't miss out. But once Martial is fit, does it mean that Rashford's the guy that sits on the bench? That is a possibility. If you play Sancho left, Martial down the middle, and you play Anthony right, you might find that Rashford, who now looks like the best super differential in the whole of the league, 0 points, 0 points, 0 points, just might happen. So you've got to be a little bit careful of that. But I think on this list of Man United midfielders, it's the first time we've looked at a United list like this and gone, oh, look, there's opportunities here. So even go down to the whole bottom here, just above Garnacho with Casemiro. 5 million at the moment, not starting games. But again, if you're looking for someone that I think in the future that will start games and might get you the odd goal and assist out of nothing, and you've got 5 million to burn, Casemiro is a good opportunity there. But once you go even further up the list, you know, Scott McTominay at 4.9, playing more as a number 8 this year, getting forward, getting into the box. Might have a little run. 4.9 might be something that you want to dabble with. Alanga playing many more minutes than he was last year, I think, in total, and seems to be liked by this manager. Again, not liked by Man United fans, but that's not what we're talking about here. 4.9 million. And then as you go to the top there, we've talked about Rashford and Sancho already. Bruno, I think at 9.8, still a little bit expensive, but if you want to have a go, I would not be surprised if he pops. And I think Eriksen, I think we're seeing Eriksen is going to play that 6-8 role this year, much deeper, and that will affect his assisting. But what he will get, Haydar, is ICT bonus points, 100%, because I think he's going to play, be Man United's most important player for most of the season if he plays that role. And he's just so intelligent. He can still get you assists playing deeper. He did, obviously, the other day. We made that late run, and he's through on goal, and he just puts it on a plate for Marcus Rashford. So if you want to buy into Manchester United, I would say maybe wait a week, just give it another week, just so you see it and you can feel it, or maybe even another 2 weeks. But I won't be surprised if a lot of people will be buying into Manchester United this week.
The Palace is a tough game, Rob. Europa League tonight. We're recording this on Thursday. It's a very tough game. Palace away. It's actually, I'd say, in some ways you could say it's a bigger test than, because the Arsenal game, people didn't expect United to win. But with Palace, you know, now that United have gone and beaten Liverpool and Arsenal over this run of 4 games with wins on the bounce, I think Palace is such a big game. You said wait a couple of weeks. United play City in 3 weeks' time. So that's so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. But let's talk about Anthony, because there's people asking about Anthony in the comments. And we know that he scored on his debut. 7.5, only owned by 4.9% of players. You make a really good point. I didn't even think about Martial coming back, actually, and that Rashford could get shifted to the left, which is probably what will happen. You know, Rashford and Sancho will be fighting it out for that left-hand side.
Yeah.
But that makes Anthony, we know that Ten Hag's already said Anthony will be the starter. He's going to be the first choice right winger. He's the only left-footed right winger that we have at the club. So that's actually very interesting. And if he can add goals and assists to his game, he didn't get many last year for Ajax, but I have a feeling that, you know, once he starts going, I think he's going to get points. And at 7.5 million, it makes sense, you know, once he does. But it's too early, I think, now to be bringing him in, because we don't know what he's going to do yet.
Yeah, there will be Man United fans who do FPL who, in that 4.9% of ownership there already, they will all be Reds. They'll all be United fans. No one has burnt 7.5 million on a player that they either don't know or don't know even is going to start. But you're right. We all know that Anthony will be a starter at Man United. A bit like Casemiro. It's not happening for him yet, but he's going to be a starter, isn't he? There's no doubt that Anthony could be a big season-long differential at 7.5. So if he starts to get goals and assists almost off the bat, we know obviously he scored on his debut, that 7.5 might turn into 8.5 very, very quickly. We'd hope that as Man United fans away from FPL. However, I would say at the moment, again, it's a watch and wait and see. Really good debut, but that was only 60 minutes. Already in his influence for ICT, he's 104th out of 270. So that's 60 minutes of the whole season. And he's 104th already. So you would expect him to be maybe in the top 50 very, very soon. And then maybe in the top 20. And that would give you, I think, more of a push to spend maybe that 7.5. It might be 7.6 next week, might be 7.7 the following week, to then commit to him as a long-term prospect. And he might end up, Haydar, being better value at 7.5, 6 or 7 than Rashford at the moment at 6.5 if Rashi ends up being bench fodder. Because every chance that Sancho is the starting left-sided player and Anthony being the right. And that's difficult for them, Rashford, because he's then just competing for minutes with Martial. While Martial is injured and not playing, and he's not ready to play yet, it means Rashford will be the starter at the top end of the pitch in the Premier League. So if you buy him this week, you'll probably still get returns for a minimum of 2 or 3 weeks.
Final segment, Rob. Let's talk about your game week 7 team. Yeah. And we'll keep this brief because you haven't really made too many changes. But let's talk about what you have done, because you have made one particular change. Yeah. So you didn't make a change last week, did you? So you've got technically 2 free transfers. Is that correct?
Yeah, for this week I got 2 free transfers, but I've only done one. So I've got 2 next week. That's the reason.
Smart. So what have you done?
So what have I done this week? So for anyone who knows our team, seen it at the start, knows it from week by week. I did have Neto from the early days, and I wanted to stick with him because he is starting at Wolves. But his returns in the first 6 game weeks are horrible, like really horrible. Like, I think it's like 2-2-1, 3-2-2-1 or something like that. Something along those lines. Not very good. So we just talked about Andreas, 4.6 million. Neto's 5.2 at the moment. I decided this week, this was a pure financial transfer, right? This is not me predicting that Andreas will be better than Neto this week or next week or following weeks. So I had 0.6 in the bank already. I got rid of Neto at 5.2, bringing Andreas at 4.6. That means I've now got 1.2 in the bank for next week when I will still have 2 transfers. So that's why I've done that. Because there's always that chance, Haydar, that Salah goes, breaks his foot this week. Haaland does his knee and is out for 8 weeks. There's a problem maybe with Alvarez or Jesus or something in my lineup. Robertson, 6.8 is a premium. Cancelo, 7 million. And I've got 1.2 in the bank with 2 free transfers. So that's what I'm doing. I'm just hedging my bets. That's all I'm doing this week. Because I don't believe I'm going to make any more points by changing premium. So like, you know, you said at the start, might get rid of Salah, might get rid of Robertson. No, not yet. Not yet. Like, Salah could get a hat-trick against Wolves and Robertson could get a clean sheet and 3 assists. They really could. There's always that chance with this team. Don't get sucked in to the whole narrative about Klopp and Liverpool at the moment. Don't do it. Not this early. Maybe in 6 weeks' time, but not yet. Because they might just alight, get to where they want to be. I get the feeling Klopp's good enough to make that work. Do you know what I mean? And as I said, if they do win the next 6 games, both those players, Robertson and Salah, will get big points. No doubt about it. So stick with it. But the rest of my team, the only player I brought in for my starting 11 here really is Bailey. Zivchenko was supposed to be out last week because Arteta said he'd be injured. And then I turned up at Old Trafford, looked at the starting sheet while I was there, and Zivchenko's playing. And I'm like, ugh. But I was all right because Man United scored 3 against him. So that helped that FPL wound. But you can see here, it's just a balance of the norm, isn't it? Robertson, Cancelo, James, Zivchenko. I don't even get a better back 4 than that. I really don't think that is as strong as you can get. Sanchez has been really good in goal this season. And in the midfield as well, it's Salah with 3 bona fide premium mid-rangers who have been getting points. So even Bailey got those points last week, though he was on my bench. And up top, the 2 strikers, I think, that picked themselves, Haaland and Jesus. The only other player you might want to chuck in there, of course, is Tony. So easy to pick, too easy to pick almost, Haydar. That's the reason why I'm letting this transfers roll over, because I don't feel pressured with the players that I've actually got in my squad to start going out and tinkering and spending big on other players. But the mid-range is where you've got to pick it. Do you know what I mean? Gross, Bailey here. Zinchenko's 5.2, so he's technically mid-range. So you've got to find a way to get the best mid-rangers in, and that's why we did the show about them today.
Yeah, I think, look, my team's probably going to be very similar to that. I need to think about what I'm going to do in terms of changes. Yeah, like I've got a lot of thinking to do, but my team's very similar. I think everyone seems pretty similar. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. Guys, thank you for joining us as always. Make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, and make sure you do also check out our Twitter page. That's at MayUnitedMC. You'll see all the tweets about when the shows are and all the updates. Give me a follow at Hader_Rabani and give Rob a follow at @_Rob_B. Good luck this game week, and we'll see you all next time. We'll be right back.